We are live at Crane Christian Church. Thank you. One more step two. Somebody in the audience will always say, turn your mic on. And it's okay, you know, because I like to be heard, even when I use my Batman voice. All right. I have a question. Has anybody ever seen me and Batman at the same place at the same time? I think that means something. I'm just going to throw that out there. Okay. Speaking of that, let's go to Matthew chapter 19. And I know we've been working our way back. We skipped ahead for Easter. But guys, I want to tell you, I spent probably a little too much time on this yesterday to be able to get through this today. I've got a page full of notes, and usually if I got more than like six sentences, we're in real trouble. So, but the good news is, Lord willing, we'll be back next week for part two, maybe part 16, you know, who knows. Okay. So, reading this out loud, 19 and 27. And Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? One version that I was looking at yesterday had a word for this phrase, radical renunciation. Radical renunciation. And guys, I want to tell you something. We're not taking an offer. The offering's already taken. But the point being is this. This is not about finances. This is about your heart. And as I look at this, it's in Peter, it's in this same scripture, is, see, we've left all and followed you. In Mark, it says it like that. And he says these words, so Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold inherit everlasting life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. And guys, again, once again, he has just talked to the rich young ruler. And we're not gonna spend a lot of time on that, but he had just talked to the rich young ruler. And I can tell you that when the Bible says these words, have no other gods before me. I'm telling you, I am not convicted that there, in my house, there's a little, see, you got guys, remember those little troll dolls with the hair that stuck straight up when we were little? I don't have three or four of those set up and do little sacrifices to them and hope that they'll give me good luck or anything like that. We ain't doing that. Is everybody okay with me not doing that? Okay. I'm not convicted at all about anything about that. But when I studied the Bible, and when I studied my heart, okay, that's where it comes from. And guys, watch this. When it says, have no other gods before me, guess what one of my little G's is in my life? Comfort. I want to be comfortable. I want to be physically comfortable, financially comfortable, politically comfortable, groceries comfortable, whatever, you know, I'm very particular in a lot of ways, okay? Some not so much. But here's the deal, guys. Literally, that can be a little G in our life, that we have other gods before us. You know, or our reputation. What did Jesus become? Of no reputation. That's what the Bible says. He laid that. Listen, think about it. He's in heaven. And I don't know what, I wasn't there. I don't know what was going on in heaven before He came to earth, but he did not count that as something that he could not leave and come down here and take care of our problem. Okay. So I want to tell you that another little G in my life in the past, and I'm not saying it never sticks his dirty head up now occasionally, but is religion. And I want to tell you, religion feeds comfort. Okay. Religion feeds control. Not that I'm a control freak. Don't worry about that. Okay. But the point I'm saying is this, guys. Watch this. When I go into chapter 20, I want you to take your religious glasses off and fold them up. You can put them on later when we're not studying this. Okay? Because I know how hard they are to get rid of. They're pretty. They're horned. They got little sequins on the edges. Okay? And I want you to take off your comfort glasses, okay? Because you can't be comfortable with what I'm about to say. It's like running toward the cliff and thinking, oh, that's gonna hurt, you know, because this is gonna hurt. Because when I studied this, it hurt me. And I'm gonna tell you why it hurt me in a minute. Because I'm so smart, I've got it all figured out. Okay, I'm just gonna tell you now. But what's this? The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. The first sentence that I want to make sure that you get is landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for the field. This is describing the kingdom of heaven, which is interchangeable with the kingdom of God. All right, what's this? Now, he had agreed to pay, he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, and he sent them to his vineyard. So a denarius in that day was one day's wage. So he was paying a fair wage for a laborer that works with his hands, not a potter, not a electrician. I guess there wasn't a lot of them back then. But literally for a day laborer, he was paying a fair wage. And he went out about the third hour, which is about 9 a.m., and saw others sitting idle in the marketplace. He said, you've also gone to the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. Because, you know, they weren't there for first thing there. They're hanging around at 9 o'clock. They're like me. They don't like to get up early, okay? So then he went out about the sixth hour, which is about noon. Is now you're really getting in my time frame. And the ninth hour also, which is 3 p.m. And then he went out at the 11th hour, which is 5 p.m. Think about this. Remember, they worked on the sun. They didn't work. They were not union. They didn't work in the dark, okay, unless it was emergency. And they didn't work after dark unless it's emergency, because you can't see. They didn't have flashlights, electricity like we have. So some of these people, he's showing up at 5 o'clock. And he says, why have you been standing idle all day? And they said, because no one hired us. And he said, you also go to the vineyard, and whatever is right, you shall receive. I want you to hear the tone and the essence of what he's saying. In other words, he's saying, whatever's right, I will give you. Is that what he's saying? Okay. So when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the steward, call all the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. Oh, somebody's not going to like this. Ooh, this hurts my religious bone bad. And those who came were hired about the 11th hour. They each received what? A day's wage. They worked 1 hour. That irritates me from here. But when the first came, they supposed they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. They got exactly the same. What was agreed upon. Isn't that irritating? And when they had received it, they murmured against the landowner. Now, I want you to look, that word murmur takes me right back to Exodus. God does not like whiners. Thou shalt not whine. I don't know that that's actually that exact terminology, but it is in my house. Okay, and here's the deal. Thou shalt not whine. And he began to, they begin to murmur against who? The landowner is the guy who's in charge and who owns everything. Everything is his. Saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden in the heat of the day. Is that logical? Yes. That is logical. That is logical to be irritated about that. Does that make sense? Did you know that God's not logical? I'm serious. Did you know God's not logical? You think you can figure God out? Good for you. Okay, have fun with that, as we say. And he answered one of them, said, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first will be last. So many are called, but few are chosen. So guys, the heaven, the kingdom of heaven has elements. One of the elements is what's going on right now. We're some of y'all are sitting, I'm standing in church on April the 14th, maybe? Yeah, April 14th. And that's going on right now. That's part of the kingdom, okay? We're receiving, we're listening. That's our flag. We're here right now. It's got elements. But another element is the spiritual element. And I want to tell you, there are things you have looked at other people before and go, well, them people, they call themselves Christians. They're just not doing it as good as I am. Is there a little word in there about judging? Don't judge other people, because the same thing you'll be judging them with. See, I've already experienced that. That's why I don't want no more of that. Okay? Because I will judge you that quick in my flesh. That quick. And guess what? I choose not to. Now, does that mean I'm going to lend you money because you've already thrown away what you got? No. That's not what judgment means. It means to condemn. It means to damn someone. Okay? So, what's this? In the spirit, right now, this kingdom is going, and we're judging it by our intellect. We're judging it by these things. We're judgmental. And these guys are judgmental because, listen, did they get what they signed up for? They gladly signed on. And guess what? They got a good tan out of the deal. Okay. They said in the heat of the day, they got a tan. They probably got a snack as they came. They probably had the, got the, if it's Bible school, it was Kool-Aid and them cheap cookies, you know, snack. Who knows? Whatever. They live in their life doing what they're supposed to do. They're being good workers, aren't they? So what's this? There's 5 points that as I read this leaps out to me. Number one, he, being the landowner, comes to them. They were in the marketplace. He comes, the Bible says that you are chosen, selected, preordained, predestined from the foundation of the earth. That in Psalms it says your days were laid out before you, before he knew you in the, you see what I'm saying? He comes to us. Did you know that salvation is initiated by grace? The word of God says that no one can come by to the Father but by Jesus. And it says that we can't even comprehend this without the Holy Spirit. Guess what? And everybody, y'all are great people and I love you greatly, but y'all, it ain't about you. The reason that I'm preaching on this side and that is right there in front of our communion is the reason is I want him to be the focus of the services here at this church. Not me. I'm just telling you about him. I'm just the redneck hollering in the marketplace saying, look, there he is, the man who gave me everything, the man who forgave me, the man who saved me. And by his spirit, he's here this morning. And when we took that bread and put that in our mouths, we are celebrating the fact that it's all his and he came to us. He comes to us. Second thing, oh yeah, you're getting into some stuff here, but here you go. He made the deal. Those guys didn't make the deal. You can bargain with God all you want. See where it gets you. Okay. But here, this is what I know. I know this, that he told that man, hey, the first one, the 6 a.m. or whatever, okay, at daylight, he said, hey, come work for me. I'll give you a fair day's wage. And I'm going to tell you what that fair day's wage, that denarius, stands for in this service today. Are you ready? Eternity with him. Amen. That's the kingdom of God, is eternity with him. It's not us getting everybody that you want to be elected. It's not everything to be comfortable in your life. It's not everything to go just the way you want it to. You know, it's not us being tall, dark, and skinny. I mean, I want to tell you guys, it's about eternity with him. Of course, his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want everything he's got for me now. My new prayer, it's not brand new, but it's my latest, my more late prayer. Instead of me saying, God, give it all to me, I literally say these words. God, I want everything you have for me and nothing that I ain't supposed to have. Whether it's a relationship, whether it's finances, whatever it is, Lord, it's you, I am yours. And that's the picture of this thing. What's this? It's covenant. And the way he describes marriage is this. I am his and he is mine. So, guys, that's what he's calling us to. He makes the deal. Number one, he comes to them. Guess what? Since he's in charge, and he looks over there and he sees that guy over there, he goes to that guy and then comes back later for this guy or ever how he wants to do it. Guess what? He's in charge. And we're all the ones going, oh, that ain't right. I don't know that. But, okay. Number one, he comes to them. Number two, he makes the deal. And watch this. He gave them specific terms. Right? He gave them terms. Literally, salvation is offered on his terms. It's not you being good enough. Because some of y'all, I'm not saying this to be funny, this is not a joke. Some of y'all are good. Y'all are good. Y'all do good things. You're good to other people. You're good to each other. You're good people. But guess what? That's not what he's talking about. It's his terms. His terms is come to my vineyard and work in be a part of what I am doing. He is the way, not a way, the way, the truth, and the life. Is that right? He says, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Red Street Glide, by the way, if anybody wonders, somebody knows, Red Street Glide, this one. I hadn't done anything to the pipes yet, but he's working on it. Okay. Anyway, not that I would be distracted, but yeah, God gave me a church on a highway. Yeah, how convenient. So there's a 3, 4, there's a new model. Don't worry, I'm not distracted. I know exactly where I'm at. He gave them the terms, offered them on his terms, and I want to tell you what's happened. I'm going to preach for a minute. Okay? You ready? This is teaching up to now. This is preaching, because preaching always has a little pain in it. Okay? But I want to tell you what we've done is we've taken the basic terms that Jesus gave us, and we have then put our spin on it, our religious spin. This people have this religious spin. They have this religious spin, this religious spin. And we're a little bit righter than righter, R-I-G-H-T-E-R. We do this a little bit better, maybe that's easier to say, than these people over here, you know, them Baptists or them Assembly of God or them Presbyterians or them, you know, Methodists. And, you know, we're just got, whoever it is, and here's the deal, guys. How ignorant, meaning not knowing of the subject. The subject is salvation. And the world is, hell is enlarging itself while we point our fingers at each other. Listen to what I'm saying. As I studied and prayed and cried out to God 30 years ago, just crying out to God, and see, my focus has not changed, because he is calling us to be good to one another, to love one another, to open the doors to each other. He gave them the terms, and the terms was, you work in my vineyard, and I'll pay you when it's over. Was that the term? And some of them, he said, I'll give you a denarius. The first guys, he told them, I'll give you a denarius a day's wage. But those rednecks that were still hanging around, you know, hanging around at the water fountain or whatever, or the well, he said, I'll just pay what's fair. So I want to tell you that the fourth thing that this story tells me, that this payment, this end result was secured not by performance, because we want to make it about performance. It was not secured. Remember what, and listen, don't take this wrong, but literally the Bible says these words. He said, there'll be people on that day say, man, I cast out demons in your name. I did this, I did that, and the other. And he's going to say, I never knew you. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not about your performance. It's about what his performance. It's about what he did. It's about, and let me tell you something, these terms, he gave them the terms, and they were secured by his word. His word is still what matters. Sunday school, we're reading complete chapters and going through them again. And here's the deal, guys. His word, it's deep, it's wide. Get into the word, stay in the word. He will speak to you by his Holy Spirit through the word of God. Get in it. And you say, well, where do I start? It's a big book, okay? I recommend everybody start in Matthew and work that way, and maybe work a little bit, but you do whatever you want to. Get you one of those read the Bible through in a year things and go through that. Got them online, got them, used to have them printed out for folks. Do you believe what the word of God says? Do you believe it? I'm asking you, do you believe it? Okay. He says, ask and ye shall. Seek and ye will. Knock and it will be. Okay. So this agreement was secured by his word, because it was all his. And then the fifth point is this. Listen carefully. It's secured by his word, what he spoke. But then it is guaranteed. How many of you guys like a guarantee? Kim and I bought a car a few years ago, and we needed something that got good gas mileage. It's her little car. And she was driving back and forth to work, and I got tired of working on stuff. But anyway, so we actually bought a new car, which was scary to me. It was terrifying. I hadn't done it in years. I usually buy one after somebody else has wrecked it, and somebody else put it back together. And anyway, so I went in there, and they had one set of warranties, but then for whatever it was, $1,500 is a lot of money. They said this is a lifetime warranty on this car, not tires, not oil, not that stuff. But I told them, I said, well, let me tell you something. I look at that as a challenge. I'll be driving this when I'm, 100 years old. I'll be trying. And he said, well, now we reserve the right to just give you the value of the car versus spending. I said, now what does that mean? He said, I said, so I need to be careful with it so I don't dent it up. But anyway, but the point being is I like that guarantee. Does that make sense? And I want to tell you something. My guarantee is sealed by his blood. An irrevocable covenant from the foundation of the earth. And you go, well, what if I screw it up? No, you will. You've already screwed it up. Okay, but I want to tell you something. That don't keep me from getting out of the vineyard. I'm staying in the vineyard. You know, I might be the worst berry picker there is, but I'm going to stay in the vineyard. Here's my points. You ready? The death angel came, and they said, put some blood over your doorpost and get in the house. Guess what? Any redneck that had been looking at his neighbor's wife's ankles, because that's all they could see during that time, and lusting after her, or him who was greedy after his brother-in-law's camels, or he who was irritated because he didn't get the raise at work, whatever, where he had fallen short of the glory of God, if he was in the house, then was he saved? Yes. If you was in the vineyard, if you stayed till payday, did you get your denarius?
Yes.
All right. You know why? Because you ain't in charge. He is. And at one point on this timeline, people had showed out so bad that God said, I'm sorry I made this mess. And he found a guy named Noah, and he built a boat. Everybody that was in that boat, every monkey, squirrel, amoeba, whatever is all was in there, okay, caterpillar, if you was in the boat, did you live? Get in the boat, get in the house, get in the vineyard, and because it's been secured by his word, by his sovereignty, by his promise. His terms are irrevocable. It's achieved. Oh my goodness, it's achieved by him. It's not achieved by us. And what a glorious thing. So what's our attitude as we look at this? What's our role as we look at this? Some of us say these words. I deserve more. And guys, I want to tell you, the landowner in this story was not happy about that. He literally says, look what he says. Can I not do, is it not lawful, is it not right for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I'm good? In other words, are you envious? I want to tell you something. I've worked a lot of places. I went several days to school, in high school. I want to make sure you heard that. I didn't show up every day, but I went several days. But here's the deal, guys. Literally, have you ever seen anybody in class that they got gotten onto because they didn't do something? They said, well, Bruce did so-and-so, right? Well, Toby did that. right? Lynn did that right there. You know, why are you looking at me, brother? You know, it's always throwing that monkey off your back, right?
Eve ate it first.
Huh?
Eve ate it first.
Oh, yeah, we know that. We won't get into all that. But we don't want, I don't want to be stoned. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Okay, so are you envious of people? Are you pushing it off on other people? I want to tell you, there's four people in the Bible I'm going to talk about. I'm not going to read one scripture. Look it up when you're home. Okay, or look it up now, or whatever you want to do. The first thing that happened is just like me. There was a son that said, Daddy, I want all my stuff right now. I want my stuff now. And so he gave him his portion, and he went to a faraway land, praise of God, so that he didn't put a reputation on his daddy. He actually went off and hid and spent all of it on riotous living. When you look at that word riotous, it's talking about whores. It's talking about just drinking. It's talking about it's crazy living. Crazy living. Spend it all on dope. Spend it all on whatever. Okay? This is not a bad eBay purchase. Okay? This isn't wearing your husband out with Amazon boxes out in front of the house. Anyway, praise the Lord. They thought I'd never preach on them. Okay? So, anyway, but here's the deal. He is there and he is doing what no Jewish little boy would ever want to do. He is actually, hogs are detestable to Jews. He's got a job feeding them and he's so hungry he's about to reach in and get that. But he remembers something. Listen to what he remembers. He does not remember, well, you know, I deserve this. Oh, well, you know, No, what he remembers is the goodness of the Father. We have forgotten the goodness of the Father. It's all about how good we are. Okay? It's all about what we've done right. You ain't done. Okay, never mind. Okay. So then he begins his walk back, which I'm sure he's, Daddy, I'm sorry. And, you know, and he says, I'm just going to go there and be a servant. I don't deserve to be a son. I don't deserve anything. I just want to eat and I'll tend to the sheep or the cows or whatever, I'll do whatever you want me to do. He shows up, but watch this. What does the daddy do? Does the daddy say, all right, well, you're here now. The servants will give you a good bath and we'll give you something to eat and you can start on that backfield because we're going to teach you. We're going to see if you earn responsibility. What did he do? He saw him from afar off. And begin to run to him. The only time in the Word of God that I see God running, a picture of him running, he's running to that son. And he gets there. And the reason I wore this is a signet ring. And what this ring means, if I'm in the right group, they see this on my finger, they know that I'm a past member of that organization. They see that because you don't get these without that. They see that and they put the ring of his family authority. What this ring means to me is I knock on the door and say, hey man, you got a couch? Yeah. Oh, Bruce, Bubba, yeah, come on in. Oh, do you know anybody in San Francisco? I'm going there next. Yeah. Do they have a couch? I mean, seriously. I mean, that's what it means. It's a family. Are you listening? And he put that ring on his finger, and when he went to the next place that he went, they saw that ring on his finger and said, he's back. He's part of the family. And nobody can argue that. Why? Because Daddy did it.
Amen.
Because it's all his. It's all his. And he puts a robe on him. And I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't a robe he deserved. It wasn't a robe that he picked out. It was a robe of rightness, righteousness. And let me tell you something. Any righteousness that I have comes from my Father.
Amen.
He put a robe of righteousness on. Guys, I want to tell you, It's him. It's him by his power, his grace, his love, his mercy. Put some shoes on him so that he could walk this path that he'd been called to walk on. Those shoes, just think about it. He didn't deserve those shoes. He done wore his out or hawked them at the hawk store, you know, trying to get enough. Those shoes gave him the ability to walk over the hard places of this life. Because you know what? There's some hard places in this life, aren't there? Yeah. Okay. So then he brings him in and they have a party. They butcher the fatted calf or the fatted lamb. I don't know what they had. But anyway, the point being, I don't know. So the point being is this. His older brother comes in and goes, "What? You never given me a fatted calf for me." You know, does that sound familiar to the workers that got there first? Daddy was not pleased. He said, "Son, everything I have is yours. But listen, your brother was lost and now he's found." Do y'all see how that lines up with this scripture we're talking about today? Because we don't want to be that sarcastic guy that comes in later and says, "Well, you know, if you'd have been here, I wouldn't have had to carry the load." I want to tell you something. It's all grace. It's all grace. It's all grace by the love of the Father. Yeah, the thief on the cross, we've already talked about this month, but I want to tell you something. Never got baptized, bless his heart. Never went to a Sunday school class. You know, he probably could have done that. He might not have been on the cross if he'd been in Sunday school. Well, I'm just telling you, he didn't run it, touch any of the bases. No gold stars on his thing for bringing his Bible and his offering. He did nothing. But guess what happened? This is what happened. "Remember me." Believing that he had a kingdom. Believing in the Son of God. And Jesus looked at him and said, "We're going to go to paradise." And I want to tell you something. If that don't teach you something, you need to learn it. You need to start over. Jesus, we talked about it last week. Literally, he's taking a trip. He said, "I got to go through Samaria." Walks through there. The first person he reveals the fact that he's the Messiah outside of his circle is the woman at the well who had nothing together. Nothing. No place in culture. No place in finances. No place in anything. You realize that. He shouldn't have even been talking to her. And he says, I am who you're looking for. He reveals himself as the Messiah to her. And she runs off talking about it. She gets excited. Do you see that? Can you imagine those people saying, "Well, why did he tell her? Out of all the people, we got people here who studied religion their whole life." Listen, God knows what he's doing and he does what he will. Last one. Probably one of my favorite. Because it's a picture of covenant like no other. What's this? David and Jonathan were buddies. Hard buddies. Friends. Fight together. And they covenant to each other and said, "I will always be good to your family." And the other one says, "I will always be good to your family." Then Jonathan dies. David's put into is on the throne. His things have calmed down enough and he goes to his advisors, the people who keep up with stuff for him, and says, "Is there anybody still alive of Jonathan's house, of Saul's house? Anybody?" Because see, anybody, any king before this would have said, "We're going to kill them so they won't be a threat to the throne." You follow what I'm saying? That was the practice of the day. And I'm sure everybody goes, "Oh no. Oh no, what's going to happen now?" But literally what happens is Mephibosheth is in his house. He's crippled. He's been dropped when he's a child. He's living in a place called Lodabar, which means a dry and lonely place, guys. And he's living there, and these guys come knock on the door and literally say, hey, David's wanting to see you. And the first thing he thinks, I'm sure, is I'm a dead man. Okay? He shuffles up. They take him to David. He comes in, and what does David do? Listen to this. There's nothing that Mephibosheth could do for David. Not one thing he could do for him. He can't even walk without assistance or a cane or something. There's not one thing he can do. He can't do it. He can't fix it. He can't do this. He can't do that. And David, he comes in and said, I'm a dead dog. And literally what happens is David looks at him and says, you will eat at my table every day. The reason he saw that is because when he saw Mephibosheth, he saw Jonathan. And he had made that promise. And I want to tell you something, guys. We have pushed people off to the right, pushed people off to the left. We're better than you, we're better than that. And I want to tell you something, guys. Listen, bottom line, the end of it is this. It's the landowner that makes the decision. And I want to tell you, it's not us. So bow your heads with me this morning. Father, thank you so much for your word. Because, Lord, as we dig, as we pray, as we study to show ourselves approved, we find and see, Lord, that you are good. And you show us hundreds and thousands of different ways, God, that you are good. So, Lord, today we give you our lives. If you're watching at home, if you're here with me, just choose you this day that, Lord, we will serve you in your vineyard. In your vineyard, in this world, God, that is yours. We serve you. We give ourselves to you, Lord. And God, some of us need to rededicate our lives to serving you, that you're our priority. Some of us need to make that decision to believe that you are the landowner, that this all is yours, Lord, and that Jesus died on the cross. And Lord, receive that truth and proclaim that with our mouth, and then follow that with baptism, and then get to working in the vineyard. We love you, Lord. We give our hearts to you, God. Do what you will with us. We want everything that is ours and nothing that you don't want for us, God. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you and give you peace. Have a great day.